This is Digital Story Podcast number 568, January 31st, 2017. Today's theme is plugins, cake and eat it too. I'm Derek Story. The phrase, you can't have your cake and eat it too, refers to telling someone that they can't have two good things that don't normally go together at the same time, like eating a cake, then continuing to possess the same cake so you can eat it later. An exception to this rule in the world of photography is with our photo management apps and plugins. I explain more in today's show. On one hand, we want continuity with our photo management applications. So whether you're using Lightroom, Photos for macOS, Capture One Pro, or something else, you want to know that your photos are safe and retrievable. So we have to have that. We have to have some sort of home for our images. But at the same time, just like being stuck in the house, right? There are times when we want to go out and explore the world and see new things. But we always want that home to come back to, right? I mean, you know, one of the things that I always like about travel is I love travel and I love coming home. I love both sides of it. Now, part of that is that I really enjoy where I live. So coming home is, you know, is a nice thing. But I want to be able to come home. And I think for me, travel would be a lot different if I didn't have that home base that I look forward to returning to. So, you know, there's a parallel here when it comes to our photo management and then the things that we want to do, the creative things that we want to do with our photography. Because with our photography in our digital darkroom, which is often our photo management tool also, we want to fine tune, we want to experiment, we want to test new approaches to get the most out of our imagery. And for those activities, sometimes we want new tools and filters and things like that to help us fuel our creativity, help us feed our creativity. And to be honest, we all know this now. Any of us that have been using, you know, our favorite photo management app for a while now, those types of new tools don't come fast in the photo management world, do they? So, how can we have both? How can we have both the security of our photo management app, protecting our images, backing them up, cataloging them, putting them neatly in order using a database, and at the same time, have the new tools and the creative things that we want for our photography? And the answer to that, you already know this, because I've led you down the path and you've probably already playing with this. The answer is plugins. Answer is plugins. Having a stable photo management application and then enhancing it through plugins. And I think this is a wonderful thing. Now, in Photos for macOS, we call them editing extensions. In Lightroom, plugins. And in Capture One Pro, really, it's edit with. It's the edit with command. Regardless of though, and oh, in Photoshop too, we have to keep in mind a lot of people use Photoshop for their primary photo application. They would be plugins there. Not all plugins are created equal, so I think a big part of this is finding the plugins that are right for you, the ones that are enhancing your photography workflow and not further frustrating you with their behavior. So I'm going to talk about three today, three plugins. One I'm very high on, one I've been leaning on for a long time and like it a lot, and one I'm still scratching my head a little bit over. But I know it's a favorite for a lot of people that listen to the show, so I wanted to, you know, give it another try. And I'm going to start out with that one, which is On1 Photo Raw. So On1 Photo Raw burst onto the scene. Well, they didn't really burst onto the scene, right? I mean, it was like a slow curve. We knew it was coming for a long time. And it has arrived not too long ago. Now, on the plus side, it's available for both Mac and Windows platforms, which I think is really cool. it doesn't really require a catalog structure. And this is something that On1 has always subscribed to, is that you don't need that database catalog to store your images, that you can have them anywhere that you want. You can have them on a network, you can have them in the cloud, you can organize them at the Finder level, however you want to do it. On1 Photo Raw will work with you. Now, it has a whole bunch of tools, and this is really the strength of this application. It has layers, brushes, masking tools. It includes almost all of the On1 apps. So it includes Browse, Develop, Effects, Portrait, Layers, Resize, and it works as a standalone, which I think is important. You know, with almost all the plugins that I really like, not only do they work well as a plugin, but they also work as a standalone app. And there are times when you do want to step outside of your photo management app and use them as a standalone. Although, if you do that, then I really feel like you got to find a way to get that finished product back into your photo management app so it doesn't fall outside of your cataloging system. Anyway, On1 Photo Raw standalone, and then it can be a plugin for Photoshop, for Lightroom. It can be a host app for Google and other apps, and it can be allegedly an editing extension for Apple Photos for Mac OS. I had two experiences with this. So what I did was I downloaded the trial version of it. So I had 30 days to play, and I worked with it both in Lightroom and tried to work with it in Photos for Mac OS. My Lightroom experience was pretty good. You know, the handoffs were smooth back and forth. The images, once I finished with them in Photo Raw, appeared back in Lightroom, you know, which is, you know, what you're looking for, right? You want that smooth round trip. You don't want anything to fall outside of the application loop there. So I was pretty happy with it for Lightroom, and I really felt like that it did give me a fresh set of tools to play with outside of the tools that are in Lightroom, which we all know are very excellent. Lightroom's image editing tools are terrific, but sometimes you just want something a little different. You want filters that are a little different. You just want a different look, especially when you're trying to find where is that artistic image inside of this photograph that I have taken. I know it's in there somewhere and I can't find it. And so sometimes an application like Photo Raw can help you find that artistic image that's inside that seemingly dull photograph. But in your heart, you know there's something in there, right? Now, on the other hand, when I tried to use it with Photos for Mac OS as an editing extension, and you know, when you download Photo Raw, you get the plugins, you get the standalone, and you get the editing extension. There's actually two editing extensions that you get. And I believe that the one that I really wanted was Develop. And I have had this problem in the past with On1 editing extensions. I have gone through tech support. It's not like this is just something they said, hey, it doesn't work and, you know, forget you. I've actually gone through tech support, and the things that tech support suggested, I did, even though I knew they wouldn't work. You know, I'm not gonna get in a diatribe about this. They haven't been able to really, in my opinion, create editing extensions that I think work well. Now, this is something, though, that I want to hear from you. If you're using On1 Photo Raw as an editing extension for Photos for Mac OS, and you're having a positive experience with it, I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you on what you're doing there and what your setup is and all that kind of stuff. Because obviously, it must be working for someone, right? I run a clean machine. I have to test a lot of software. I have to run a tight ship. I feel like I know what I'm doing, but there's always could be something that, you know, maybe is lurking in my machine that inhibits Photo Raw from working properly as an editing extension, which is surprising because it works great as a standalone app on my Mac, and it works very well as a Lightroom plugin. At any rate, this application, which is really a collection of applications, is available for $99. If you use Photoshop or Lightroom in particular, I can easily recommend it because I think it's very powerful. And for all that you get, I think they can justify the $99. Personally, I think the user interface could use a little bit more work, but I think that's just my subjective opinion on that. Other people may feel that it looks perfect and is just fine as it is. But overall, I have to say that it was fun using it with Lightroom. It was horrible using it with Photos for macOS. It's a very interesting application. I think as it develops over time, it's going to continue to get better and better. And if you listen to me at all, you know that I tend to give the initial release of any application that I think has potential, I tend to give them a little bit of slack, a little bit of breathing room, because it is a 1.0 release. You know they're working on it. If it stayed that way for another year, that would be different. But I have a feeling that 12 months from now, we should be looking at a different On1 Photo RAW than what we have to work with right now. So definitely something to keep your eye on. If you're an On1 fan already, which means you like On1 Browse, you like Develop, and you like effects and all that, then I think this app really pulls together things nicely for you. And as a plug-in, I think it can really enhance your Lightroom or Photoshop experience. The next one that I want to talk about is going to be no surprise if you listen to this podcast at all, which is Luminar. And Luminar is Mac-only, at least Mac-only at the moment. And I just think it's one of the nicest standalone and plug-in applications going right now. It really resonates with me. I love the design of the application. I love the filters they have created. And, you know, the filters are really like adjustment sliders, right? They're not filters like, you know, old Polaroid or something like that. You know, they are the sliders that allow you to adjust contrast, highlights, all that kind of stuff. You know, polarizer slider, there's a ton of them. You know, softening effects, all that kind of stuff. This application is a beautifully designed application. It works very well. I would say the one thing about Luminar that I noticed running it on my mid-2014 laptop, wow, time goes by fast, doesn't it? Mid-2014 laptop, is that when I really get into the heavy-duty processing, there still is occasionally some lag during the processing process. Let's say with a brush, let's say that I just switch to that brush. I've been working on this image for a bit. I switch to a brush. I do a little bit of brushing, and then I don't think I notice anything right away. And then I brush a little bit more, and then, you know, it comes, it'll happen. So that doesn't happen a whole lot, but it has happened to me a few times. And, you know, that so far is my nit with it. A lot of people are requesting that, you know, they bring in some sort of photo management because they love the editing tools so much for Luminar that they would love to have the photo management side and maybe replace what they're using right now. I don't think we're going to see that in the immediate future, but probably over the long haul, I think we will see it. Now, this is great for Mac users who are using Lightroom, Aperture, or Photos for macOS. It works with all three and it works very well. I particularly like it with Photos for macOS because I think it just supercharges that app to the level of where I can use Photos for almost any image that I want to work on. There's also a standalone version of Luminar. And the one thing about the standalone version that I think is really good is that if you're really going to work on an image for a bit, you're going to have layers, you're going to be doing all sorts of stuff, and then maybe you want to come back and work on the layer some more and do some of that. The standalone version, you can save so that it preserves the history, it preserves all the layers, so that you can come back to exactly where you left off. When you use it as a plugin, then everything is flattened. It's just like flattening all the layers. And then it is sent back to the host application, Photos, Lightroom, Photoshop. And so I think that that's just something to keep in mind. Now, most of the time I do use it as a plugin because I just want to clean up an image and then send it on its way, and so coming back flat is okay. But if I really want to continue working with an image to get it exactly the way that I want, then I think the standalone version is the way to go. You can get Luminar for $69 right now. I have a link to it in the show notes. I have a link to all of these in the show notes. And as I said, right now, especially if you're working on a Mac in Lightroom or Photos for Mac OS, I think it is really one of the premier image editing apps. This next one may surprise you a bit, but it has been a longtime favorite of mine. And I like it because it doesn't do too much, but what it does very well. And that is DxO Film Pack. DxO Film Pack. And in addition to having more than 80 analog films in there, it allows you to add other filters. It allows you to add vignetting, blur. You can add texture. You can add frames, like, you know, film frames, like the edges of a film. You can create light leak effects. You can do all that. But the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that you get the DxO RAW processing as part of the film pack. So if you open a RAW file in the film pack, you get the DxO RAW processing first, and then you get all the analog film filters and effects and everything else that comes with it. And that's the part that I think is really nice. DxO RAW processing, I think, is very strong. I always have been a fan of it, but not everyone wants to use, you know, the pro version of the app. That's, well, the workflow, I think, is a little difficult with the pro version and so forth. And, you know, so you want the RAW processing, but you don't necessarily like the way the tools are arranged, or you're not really sure how to catalog your images, all that. And I totally understand that. That's one of the reasons why I don't use the pro version of the app more often. On Film Pack, however, I can use it as a plugin for Lightroom, for Aperture, for Photoshop, and the whole workflow thing now works because I have my photo management application managing my images. I get the raw processing from DxO, and I have all of these cool film emulations and filters to play with if I want. Now, the thing about when you use it with Lightroom, it's not like the traditional plugin system. What you have to do is that, you know, once you download Film Pack and you install it on your machine, and by the way, it's both Mac and Windows compatible, and you install it on your machine, what you do in Lightroom is that you set it up as the additional external editor. You know, Lightroom, you get two external editors. For most folks, the first one is usually going to be Photoshop, right? Because you're using Lightroom, you're in the Adobe ecosystem, and Photoshop just makes a lot of sense to be your primary external editor. But as a secondary, or as the additional external editor, I actually have DxO Film Pack because it's like the creative editor, right? I mean, you know, having Photoshop as a primary, that's great for, you know, doing Photoshop things. In all honesty, I'd rather work in Lightroom most of the time than Photoshop, so I'm not going to Photoshop unless I absolutely have to. And really what I'm looking for, and what we're talking about on this podcast, is having software to help you with the creative side of your photography to complement, you know, the work that your photo management app is doing. And in this case, DxO Film Pack works really great as a secondary or the additional external editor. So once you set that up, then Lightroom will hand off the file to Film Pack. You can play with it to your heart's content. And then when you save it, the file comes back into Lightroom and it gets stacked with the original, which is really nice. So then you have the two of them together in a stack. And that's pretty nice stuff. Now, you can get DxO Film Pack as its own standalone app. I think it starts at $79. There's two versions, and it really depends on, you know, how many film emulations you want. And you get all the plugins with it. They don't have it as an editing extension, for photos for Mac OS X. I wish they did, because I think it would be a fabulous editing extension. And I know they can do it because they have a couple editing extensions already, DxO does. But they haven't done FilmPack yet. And I think FilmPack is it's a real sleeper in this particular area in terms of just providing us with a really nice look. Now, you may be wondering why I didn't cover, let's say, the Google plugins, the former Nik plugins and so forth. Well, what's happening is as time marches on with the newer versions of Lightroom and Photoshop and so forth, those are starting to fade in the sense that they're not being updated as they were back a couple years ago. So that's one of the reasons why I have stayed away from the Nik plugins, which I think are really good. And I tell you, when I was using Aperture 3, before I switched to Capture One Pro for my main photo management app for my professional work, Nik software was basically the only thing that I used for plugins. I loved them so much. I'm a big fan of them, but I just really feel like that Google is not going to work anymore on them, and they're going to stay exactly where they are. Another pretty well-known collection is the Topaz collection. So, those are a couple other big names that I didn't really recommend this time around. My favorite right now, of course, as you already know, is Luminar. I really like what DxO does, and I love FilmPack a lot. And I'm very curious to see what happens with On One Raw. I think it has potential, but I think there's still some work to do there. Regardless, though, of what you pick, the idea, and really what I want to get across on this first segment of the show, is that, again, if you just feel yourself a little bit in a rut using Lightroom, a little bit in a rut using Capture One Pro, a little bit in a rut using Photos for Mac OS, and you really want to bring a little bit of excitement back to the creative exploration of your images, then find a plugin. There's a whole bunch of them out there, and you can search on Google, the 10 best photo editing plugins or something like that. Take a look at what's offered, find something that really sings to you, and then add it to your Photoshop or add it to your Photos application, and get excited about that part of your imagery again. You can do so and not have to give up, the database managed part of your photo management system. You don't have to give up organization and keywording and all the things that we really need. It is most definitely having your cake and eat it too. In the news, boy, this is a news story I really like. Advanced Editing Extensions was just released from lynda.com. This has been a title I have wanted to talk about since the day I started recording it. I love this title. So the full name of it is Photos for Mac OS Advanced Editing Extensions. In this one training, I show you how to use Luminar, DxO Optics Pro, Pixelmator, Affinity Photo, and Polar. Every one of these applications is very good, and every one of these applications really gives you the ability to stretch photos from Mac OS to places that you just never thought this application could go. So I work with what I consider the highlights of each of these editing extensions, and these are also standalone apps too, which is really wonderful. So even if you don't want to use them as editing extensions, but you're interested in their power as standalone apps to use, independently or, use in conjunction with Lightroom or Photoshop, I still think you would find this interesting. I have the link to this new title, Photos for Mac OS Advanced Editing Extensions, in the show notes. I love the way this training turned out. If you use Lynda, or if you're thinking about using Lynda, please take a look at it if you're interested in any of these applications. All of them are terrific, and I think you'll have a lot of fun with it. Okay, before I get to the updates, I want to tell you that I am on the road again. You probably, and I'm somewhere else now. You probably have figured this out by now. Where am I now? Okay, so now I am staying at my sister's house in Huntington Beach, California. We have some family stuff going on that we have to tend to. And my sister and I are working on that, helping with that. And so I have some pillows stacked up here in my room at her house. And she's on the phone talking to my aunt right now in the other room. And at any moment, Diesel, that's his name, which is a Jack Russell Terrier, could come bursting in here and knock my microphone over. So it's life on the road again. And I'm using my my portable recorder here. And hopefully I got the pillows. You know, it's funny, when I'm recording, I don't really know how the sound quality is until after I'm done recording and I get to listen to it, you know, in my sound editing app. But I feel like I have a pretty good setup here. Sorry, I'm on the road again. But as I always say, I figure you would rather have me stack up pillows, do my research. I did my research for this this morning. I spent a couple hours doing my research and writing the show notes this morning. Do my research and record any way that I can on the road, rather than just to throw my arms up in the air and say, ah, not this week. It's just not my nature to say that. It's just not my nature. You could tie both of my hands behind my back and give me a tin can and a string, and I would try to record a podcast for you. So anyway, this week's podcast is coming to you from Huntington Beach, California. Staying with my sister. And the boy, I tell you, the weather here, much different than up in Northern California, I tell you. Today, it was like over 70 outside. Over 70, and there's nice warm weather. There's snow on the mountains. My parents' house is in the Inland Valley, Upland, California. So the snow on the mountains up behind my parents' house is really beautiful. I mean, this is the time of year. If you're ever thinking about coming to Southern California, if you come in the winter, I'm telling you right now, this is a great time of year to be here. It's absolutely beautiful. All right, so that's what I'm up to right now. And, well, you know, just like everything else, we just keep plugging along no matter what's going on, right? All right, so I do have a few updates for you. As I mentioned last week, the registration forms went out for the Chicago to New Orleans Rail Adventure. This week, something that just happened... Well, it just really happened today. We signed the contract today. We have the coolest hotel in the French Quarter in New Orleans at a super affordable price. I mean, a super affordable price that includes a meeting room for us, and it includes a nice breakfast and then refreshments during the day. So we signed on the dotted line today. We have it locked up. Our first part of our workshop in Chicago is shaped up very nicely. Of course, we're falling out of Chicago. The City of New Orleans Rail Adventure, 19 hours from Chicago down to New Orleans, going through the South. And then we have the killer place now in the French Quarter in New Orleans to run the second 2 days of our workshop. So you can imagine how excited I am about this. The signups are already happening. People are already signing up. If you got your registration form and you want to come to this workshop, the only thing I ask is that you sign up sooner than later so that you don't miss out, both for this one and for the San Francisco street shooting workshop, which the registration forms are out for that. That's in April. This one's in June. That I'm probably going to open up both workshops to the public for the few remaining seats probably in a week or two. So I just wanted to give you a heads up, because I really feel like that those of you that are part of our inner circle here, those of you that are part of our weekly show and everything, I really want you to have first dibs on these things. So I'm gonna hold off for another week or two, but then after that I'm gonna open it up to the public. So if you're thinking about going either to San Francisco and staying in the Cartwright with us and having the wonderful San Francisco street photography workshop in April, which is a great time in San Francisco, and you have a registration form, you might want to get to it. And if you don't have a registration form for either of these workshops, but I've piqued your curiosity, then all you have to do is go to our workshops page at thedigitalstory.com, use the send me info form, and I'll get you a registration form for whichever workshop you're most interested. And then the last note on workshops, I mean, there's a lot going on with workshops right now. That's why it's coming up on the podcast. And that we found another amazing place for the Northern California Coast Workshop, you know, the road trip. That one's a road trip. And we're very close on signing a deal there. And I think I might be able to talk about it as early as next week. You're going to like this place too. So if that's the workshop you're interested in, that one is really shaping up to be killer also. I think this is our best workshop season ever. I honestly do. I think maybe by, a pretty good amount. Alrighty. So that's it. A couple other things here. Want to give a big shout out. We got some new Patreon members. Welcome to the Inner Circle. Welcome aboard. And thanks so much for helping us keep this show rolling along. And finally, a huge shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. I got something going with them now. And I'll just give you just a little preview on it. But this is going to be very nice. We're going to do an ebook, very highly, super amazingly affordable ebook. I mean, I'm talking like, don't hold me to this, but I'm talking like $1.99 kind of ebook on creative printing with inkjet printers. And Red River Paper is really underwriting this ebook so that I can produce it for you guys. And it'll be in our store, probably for like $1.99 or something like that. And then everyone that attends my printing class, I'm going to have actually two printing classes, I think, out of Chicago. We'll also get a copy of it, and I'm going to demonstrate some of the techniques there in Chicago in my printing classes. So that's going to be a blast. But again, this is the kind of company Red River is. You know, I come to them with this idea that I just really feel like I want to show people all the neat stuff that they can do with their inkjet printer. Are you guys willing to, you know, chip in and help out? And they go, yes, we are. And yes, they do. And this ebook is going to come to life. I'm going to have it done by June. I think I'm actually going to have it done by May. And it's, you know, we're going to have a blast with it. We're going to have a blast with it. So Red River Paper, they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. And they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. All right, so that's going to do it for this week. I need to edit this thing. It's already pretty late. I just got back from some family responsibilities. So I want to edit it before I fall asleep and make sure that's posted so that is waiting for you when you're ready to listen. Thank you so much for being part of this audience and for being part of our virtual camera club. And for those of you that are part of our inner circle, thank you. And we are going to keep rolling no matter what. That's all I got to say. All right. See you next week. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.